De igual modo, es también el lugar donde se encuentra el cuartel general del Shahen, que cuenta con decenas de miles de soldados, sin mencionar el apoyo aéreo. Será más difícil el ingreso que en otras ciudades porque la población se defenderá bajo el mando de estos grupos que lucharon contra los rusos en la década de los 80. Además, hemos visto en los últimos días que los asaltos talibanes en los suburbios de Mazar-e-Sharif han sido repelidos por las fuerzas afganas. Mazar podría ser su próximo objetivo, pero no creo que sea tan fácil ingresar a la ciudad de Mazar.
Cinco estados miembros de la Unión Europea están pidiendo a Bruselas que mantenga las deportaciones de migrantes afganos a medida que se intensifican los combates en Afganistán, una posición que muestra cuán a la defensiva están los europeos con el tema de la migración, incluso cuando se trata de un país en guerra. Marilyn Lavado.
Mediante una carta enviada a la Comisión Europea, los gobiernos de Bélgica, Dinamarca, Alemania, Grecia y Austria quieren mantener la deportación de inmigrantes afganos a pesar del llamado del gobierno de Kabul para que desistan de esta medida por un periodo de 3 meses. Según el comunicado, la demanda obedece a la necesidad de protegerse contra los riesgos que supone la suspensión de las expulsiones de asilo afgano. Detener las deportaciones envía una señal incorrecta que podría alentar a más ciudadanos afganos a dejar su país hacia la Unión Europea, remarcan estos Estados miembros en una carta conjunta. Estos 5 países piden a la Comisión que estudie la posibilidad de proporcionar un mejor apoyo a estos refugiados, reforzando la cooperación con Afganistán, Pakistán e Irán. La demanda se debatirá el 18 de agosto durante una reunión de crisis de los ministros de Interior de la Unión Europea. Desde el 2015, 570.000 afganos han demandado asilo a los países miembros de la Comunidad Europea.
Esas notas del acontecer mundial estuvieron a cargo de Norma Martínez. Estimado Radio Oyente, permíteme recordarte que vivimos una época de guerras interminables que consumen vastas sumas de dinero en armamentos, destruyendo infraestructura y vidas humanas. Los gobiernos también tienen que lidiar con la pandemia, sus variantes, los muertos, sus economías debilitadas y los pueblos dominados por el miedo y la angustia permanente. Eso amerita un medio de comunicación como esta emisora, un medio que te informe en forma veraz sobre lo que realmente ocurre en el mundo que te rodea. Cumplir con nuestra misión pacifista requiere dinero para pagar por la electricidad, teléfonos, internet y equipo. Sin eso es imposible obtener la información que tú necesitas para asegurar tu sobrevivencia y la de tu familia. Llámanos ahora al 818-985-5735 o visita el sitio kpfk.org y haz una donación de 25, 50 o 100 o más dólares que nos permita seguir haciendo nuestra labor periodística. Llámanos ya. Tribunal británico revisa la apelación de Estados Unidos sobre la extradición del periodista Julian Assange. El australiano enfrenta una posible condena de 175 años de prisión por publicar abusos de militares y diplomáticos norteamericanos. Mauricio Ampuero amplía la información.
El Tribunal Superior de Londres celebra hoy una audiencia preliminar sobre la apelación de las autoridades estadounidenses contra la negativa de extraditar a Julian Assange. El Departamento de Justicia norteamericano busca revisar la decisión de la justicia británica, que se basó en un dictamen médico que concluyó que el fundador de Wikileaks era propenso al suicidio. De esta manera, la apelación intentará convencer a los magistrados de que la vida de Assange no corre peligro en el sistema penal estadounidense. Poco antes, la Organización de Derechos Humanos, Amnistía Internacional, instó a Joe Biden a retirar las acusaciones en su contra de él al considerarlas políticamente motivadas. En Estados Unidos, Assange enfrenta hasta 175 años de prisión y casi 2 docenas de cargos por la supuesta divulgación de información clasificada. El activista y periodista permanece en una prisión británica desde el 2019, luego de que Ecuador le retirara el asilo en su embajada de Londres. Los seguidores de Assange se movilizan de nuevo en las afueras de la corte, declarando que es inocente y exigiendo su excarcelación.
Es realmente muy desagradable todo lo que está ocurriendo con el caso Assange. El verdadero motivo por el cual fue arrestado en primer lugar fue por espionaje, bajo la sospecha de que había realizado ciberataques. Pero la única evidencia que tenían es una mentira. Entonces no debería ser encarcelado, y mucho menos extraditado. ¿Cómo puede ser extraditado por un crimen que nunca cometió?
Si lo extraditan a Estados Unidos es casi una certeza de que morirá. Lo pondrían bajo un régimen especial de confinamiento solitario. Ahí no tienes ningún contacto con el mundo exterior. Cuentas con solo 2 llamadas de 10 minutos por mes preacordados para hablar con tus abogados o con los miembros de tu familia. Totalmente aislado del mundo exterior. Esto no debería suceder. Es periodista y hemos estado luchando por él durante años. Es un escándalo.
Pobre Julian Assange, que es inocente en todo, solo dijo la verdad. Es un periodista como cualquier otro que utiliza datos obtenidos de los informantes y los publica. Es inocente y no debería estar en la cárcel. Están utilizando el dinero de los contribuyentes del Reino Unido para perseguirlo. Es malvado.
El abogado de Julian Assange en Ecuador, Carlos Poveda, advierte que la encarcelación del periodista es un duro golpe para la libertad de expresión. Señala que se deben revisar muchos más fundamentos para rechazar su extradición a Estados Unidos.
Evidentemente, de los 18 cargos formulados en contra de Julian.
So, coming up next on the stream of Free Radio Santa Cruz at freakradio.org. It's the August 12th, 2021 edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides, which is a complete, pretty much, flashback to the December 31st show of last year, right after the successful defense of the San Lorenzo Park encampment there, which was followed after the community blocked the police from its second sweep through the park with an injunction masterminded by the Santa Cruz Homeless Union and attorney Anthony Prince, still holding off the forces of repression headed by Police Chief Andy Mills, City Manager Martin Bernal, soon to be retired City Manager, and the Santa Cruz Shitty Council, as I like to call them, headed by Mayor Donna Myers, famous for her famous Myersvilles throughout Santa Cruz, sort of like the Hooversvilles of the 30s, without the nostalgic sheen. And you're getting this flashback today because of the kind of a double scheduling, which I've been doing frequently, and I just can't really get away with trying to do a show on the same day as I do a Huff meeting. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group that is still meeting regularly at 11 o'clock in San Lorenzo, right above the San Lorenzo benchlands under, it's right between the courthouse, actually the county building, and the benchlands encampment. And you can check it out. It's from 11 to 1. We did it today, and we're going to do it again next Thursday. And we are there essentially to be accessible to Benchlands folks, but also to encourage the community and Benchland folks to come together in mutual support. It's, so far, I would say, not a terribly successful project, but not one that I think we're giving up on. At least I'm not, and some of the people I know involved in this are not either. In any case, I thought it would be helpful. Actually, this is a flashback that was prompted by Coral Brun, who's a tannery resident, artist, longtime Santa Cruz resident, and longtime homeless activist and advocate, who suggested it might be inspirational to kind of look back on successful times at San Lorenzo Park that we did last December. Many of us did. Where the community actually got up on its hind legs and barked back at the police, and the police backed off. Of course, that was followed the next day by an injunction, which certainly helped a lot. It might have actually made the key and crucial difference, but perhaps might not have happened had the resistance not actually framed itself in ways to stop the police and thereby stand in solidarity with the homeless community there, which was, to some extent, I'm told, kind of running scared and evacuating, although there is some dispute about that. Anyway, here it is. You get to hear it again if you'd like. And if not, if you're interested in more recent stuff, I am hoping to put together a fairly packed show on Sunday when I do a show from 9:30 to Well, sometimes it goes all the way to 3. Often that's taken up with a couple hours of flashback. But check this webcast on Sunday, either by going to freakradio.org or by going to the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, and looking in on I guess it'll be the August 15th, 2021 show, under Latest and Lost Shows. If so, I'll be talking at you then. Until then, well, gain some strength and maybe some satisfaction from hearing stories from last December and the fact that a lot of people were given a chance to live for 6 months and are still living in the benchlands near the courthouse in San Lorenzo Park. Well, lots has been happening the last few days in San Lorenzo Park. Not all of it good and not all of it bad, but the most recent developments are probably well covered by both mainstream and alternate media, as well as it's a hop, skip, and a jump down to San Lorenzo Park. And you can talk to folks down there yourself, and that's really the best thing to do, particularly if you want to be helpful. Or if you have some questions, you're critical of what's going on, and you want to get a closer view and get an understanding of how could people be supporting these dirty, wretched campers with their nasty needle campsites. As some people, you're going to hear a voice or two that says that in the interviews that I'm going to be playing today, what they say. Best to use your own eyes and check things out yourself. You're going to hear some things from my perspective, some things from the perspective of others I spoke with there. But, it's always best to come to your own conclusions if you can. And also, it's healthier that way in your own evaluating both what the truth is for yourself and being a part of the community and passing on what you know. And that's, I think, really important. Mainstream media has really been horribly deficient in dealing with some basic issues, and I'll be bringing that up and maybe playing a blurb or two of mainstream media, which is the Sentinel, KSBW, KOIN. I don't know about KSCO. I haven't checked them out. But, again, mostly this broadcast is going to be interviews from San Lorenzo Park and my commentary about that, plus whatever I kind of feel like throwing in now and then. As usual, if you have any comments to add, if you want to be a part of, if you are a part of the scene, and you probably are if you're local in one way or another, and you want to have your views known and talked about, give me a call and I will talk to you and we'll see if you want to be put on we aren't on the air, but you can be put on the net as part of the show at 423-4833. We can't do a direct phone line into a netcast at the moment yet, but I can record an interview with you and put it on later. So let's go.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
So let's begin with the actual kind of the top news of the, today and yesterday. which you've probably read about already if you've been following the situation at San Lorenzo Park and the remains of the survival campers there, as well as the activists and community members supporting them, who for several days and indeed a week before as well, set up barricades in order to stop Andy Mills' blue shirts, as we might call them, the Santa Cruz Police Department, improperly charged with the mission of relocating homeless people to nowhere in particular with no available shelter. And this is the main thing that didn't get out on mainstream media at KSBW and I don't know about KOIN, but what I was kind of hearing fragmentarily as I wandered through the rooms of those listening to those broadcasts. I mean, for those of you who have been listening to this show or following this issue at all, I don't need to say anything more, really. But for those who haven't, Santa Cruz has, 1,000 or 2,000 homeless people in it. They're in the middle of a lockdown, although homeless people are supposedly... It's a little unclear if they're excluded from the lockdown or not. In fact, one of the arguments of the lawsuit that was filed and is now going to be heard next Tuesday in federal court in San Jose is that the shelter-in-place order does impact and apply to homeless people as well. And because it does, the city's move on the homeless, its eviction order, its destruction of their property, its creation of, as various speakers have put it, further trauma among homeless people, just injustice in freezing cold weather. Not right under 32 degrees most of the time, but pretty damn cold if you're living in a tent outside. And to be moved about from place to place, losing the community that you've been in, and many of these folks have been in this place for 6 months there, in order to, repair the grass in the middle of winter, it's pretty thin pretext. It seems pretty clear this is a politically motivated action, though it's not really clear why Bernal, Elliott, and Mills feel so motivated to do it in the middle of winter, in the middle of a pandemic, and it's still in the middle of an economic crisis. I mean, it's all bad, and that's why homeless people are going to court to restore their rights, regardless of all those other conditions, because they need to do so. Because they need to be able to survive and walk upright as human beings who are afforded full rights and treated as people and not as either cattle or children or some sort of public nuisance. Anyway, the order by the U.S. District Magistrate in San Jose, it grants a temporary restraining order, a TRO, and requiring the city, in particular Bernal, Parks and Rec boss Tony Elliott, from closing San Lorenzo Park and or the benchlands, I'm quoting from the TRO here, or from taking any action whatsoever to remove persons or seize or destroy personal property belonging to homeless persons currently residing at these locations until further action of the court, which again, as I said, January 6th is when it comes back to them. I presume it's like 8:30 or 9 in the morning over there in San Jose in federal court. I may be making my way over there to watch the proceedings. Homeless people in these federal courts don't always do so well, though I think they have been successful in Sacramento, but the issue there has been, will the city police and the other authorities respect the court's finding that they should leave homeless people to shelter in place? And as I understand it, secondarily, they haven't. Unfortunately, they haven't been able to get any response from the Union of the Homeless president there, who has assured me she will get back to me, but hasn't done so in spite of repeated requests. Perhaps we can try again, and I probably will. But here, and I'm glad to see that after all the, pressure exerted by Alicia Cole finally, and others to get Anthony Prince, the attorney, to take action in Santa Cruz. At the very last minute, it happened, although maybe it was prepared for over a longer period of time. That certainly declarations had been filled out for months and months before, after the destruction of the Ross camp a year and a half ago and the destruction of the Phoenix camp 6 months after that. That was about a year ago now. And with the anticipation that the city and the county, city or the county, one or the other, were going to do the same thing. The county did move its camp, but it moved it up to De La Vega, the armory area. And so they did have an alternate location. The people that went with the camp were voluntary and did so because they wanted to. This is an involuntary closure. It's considerably different than the camp relocation. Plus, of course, they were given services, and there's no services being provided. By the which I don't mean, you know, fluffy, feathered, downy beds and mints on the pillows. I mean basic things like potable water, showers, safety from police harassment and arrest. Protection from the rain, access to electrical outlets. I'm not sure if they have that up there. I think they may. They have when they were down here near the county building. And more decent sanitation, though not as decent as even the most wretched bathrooms that are available in the parking structures and have been closed for much of the time. I'm not sure if they're open now or not. I'm getting conflicting reports. So, enough of me. Let's turn to some of the interviews I did. I went down to the camp, which had become a sort of a barricaded zone with community members trying to make sure that they encouraged the community to rest the community to join them, and some did, to stop the police from doing their phase two destruction of the camp. And it wasn't made clear to me at the time, but it may have also been a coordinated effort to give the attorneys chance to get to court and get this TRO, which apparently Mills, I think, the police chief, reluctantly is respected, although he did march in, seize fences that had been put up as barricades, fences that were removed from the county property, which was set up to fence off a barren piece of grass. It wasn't even grass. It was the area next to the bocce courts, I call it the lawn bowling area, and next to the campground, as it's currently called. It calls itself, or some people there call it, Freedom Camp. That's the far end of the camp, which hasn't yet been decimated. Anyway, some of these fences were removed and used as barricades by the intrepid activists in the community concerned about stopping the police. You can say, well, why don't they just wait for the law process to play out? Well, by that time, the camp would have been dispersed, and there would have been nothing left for them to restrain. The police have already have done their dirty work. So it was, frankly, I don't want to say miraculous, but it was certainly kind of impressive to me that this got done. I've been sort of cynical of the energy put into some of it because I've thought the police are going to come in anyway and disperse it. I've heard, you know, many a time that there's going to be some court action taken, and for a year and a half, no court action has been taken, in spite of requests from two Prince and other attorneys that they do so. But this time it got done, and hats off and compliments to those who did it. Anyway, let's wander on through the park, or you can wander with me, or you can hear what I was talking about with these folks Monday morning. That was on December 28th. So folks had set up barricades at, I understand, three entrances, maybe four, to the park. One was near the county building, one was off of Dakota Street, the other was at the near the Soquel Bridge area, that end, children's playground area. And I approached at the county building area and had a chat with about half a dozen to a dozen folks who were sort of keeping an eye on what was going on and intending to urge the police or block the police, not sure exactly what the individual intentions of each one was, but here's the conversation we had.
How are folks doing?
Seems like many folks are like really inspired and like wanting to resist more and like are really feeling the community support and feeling people's willingness to come out for them, and I think that that means a lot. So yeah, so far all of the interactions that I've had have been like really, really, really positive.
And how long have you been out today?
I got out here at 2 in the morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how was life at 2 in the morning?
It was quiet, it was peaceful, it was beautiful.
It was raining?
It was actually not. It had just stopped raining. So we just got to be out here and watch the sunrise. It was really nice.
And were you alone, or did you have a bunch of folks with you?
An undisclosed number of people.
Aha! Well, at least you were there. Were you here last time this happened?
Yeah. Actually, I think I have to stop answering.
Okay. Thank you for talking. Any reports you have?
I literally just got here, so no.
Oh,
sorry.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So three more folks
have
just arrived. And
hi, Robert. Guess who this is?
Uh-oh. No, I'm not going to tell. I won't say.
The party is here.
You are bundled. Look at that.
For anybody who hasn't got the like basic overview, we've got four entrances that we're trying to cover. A is on Dakota at the main entrance there. B is on the other side of this walkway. C is here, and D is over by the three bathrooms that open up onto Dakota. So I'm glad that you all are here. This is awesome. If you're willing to just post up here, that's great. We're going to need people who, if there are extra signs, and I think we do have extra signs, and I can try to find them mm-hmm. and bring some here. So we need people holding signs. We need people who are willing to be a human barricade if necessary. We need people who are filming. We need a lot of footage of this. And if people just want to stand here and bear witness and be a presence that shows this community that we're standing up for it, then that's great too. So there's lots of different sort of risk levels, so assess your own needs and your own capabilities and pick the thing that's right for you. Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay.
No. Yeah.
Folks are beginning to.
So,
let's see.
Yeah, so last time there was a cop car that came up here, and then they drove away when they saw there were people here, and they came in from the other side of the walkway. So that's why we have fortifications over there, and we're trying to cover all our bases, basically.
Are people dispersed enough right now?
Yeah, I think this is a solid group if you guys just want to hang here. And I will be doing... Why is Abby yelling into the radio? I will be doing communications in general, so if we need more backup somewhere else.
Do you need a bullhorn?
Thank you.
Oh, I actually...
Because I have a spare bullhorn here if anybody wants
good.
To use it.
Two bullhorns is better than one.
Indeed.
Yeah, I'll get on the bullhorn now.
Okay. Well, then we'll put you on the bullhorn.
You know I'm good at it. I can talk.
All right. I'm Robert, by the way.
Mary. Nice to meet you.
Greetings. Morning.
Morning.
Oh, boy. Well.
Police interaction protocol, unless you, like, know that you're in a role specifically where you're going to be talking to the police, if they try to talk to you, just say, like, am I being detained? Am I free to go? Don't interact.
And another technique I use is ask questions, don't answer them.
Mm-hmm.
It's now about 7:30, and I'm over at the Dakota Street entrance. I recognize you beneath that mask. What are you going to do with that umbrella? You going to throttle some police officer?
No, but if it's raining, I'm going to put it up.
Aha! Good idea.
So, and point at the sky with it. Yeah.
So were you here last time?
No.
And why this time did you decide to come down? And what's your name, sir?
My name's Micah Posner.
And
Michael, what brings you?
My daughter got an Instagram, and my dad told me on the phone he thought there was some kind of protest going on.
He's going to fly in from Mexico, perhaps?
No, he sent his genetic stock.
His proxy?
Yeah, he sent his proxy.
And have you done this kind of thing before in Santa Cruz?
I have. Every so often I get inspired to show up and just try to support or witness the immoral policies of our local city. What?
Our local police department?
I don't really blame the police department. I more blame the city council and the city manager.
So, for example, you wouldn't blame the concentration camp guards, but rather the high officials?
Yeah, I think I'd be more likely to blame that. But yeah, I mean, you know, if the police have a necessary brutality, I would blame them as well. But yeah, I think in this case, it's more the duck and cover city council and the city manager.
So as long as they proceed with efficiency and speed and courteousness and a smile on their face to remove people's property and force people out of the park, that would be not something for which they should be held personally accountable.
No, but I'll try to stop them, you know, in various ways, including trying to be here, be part of blockade or whatever. I'm not upset at them, but I don't think they really have the right to do that. And, you know, maybe at some level they know they don't have the right to do it either, you know, because they're being servants for an institution that is not acting with respect.
It sounds like there's sort of a conflict in your mind of sorts, or at least a distinction.
No, I just don't have. I'm just not making it personal. I don't think the police have the right to remove people. I just don't think they're personally evil or whatever.
Now, of course, I recognize you as a former part of the political machine here, perhaps a somewhat dissident part at different times, but you were on the city council for 4 years.
That's right.
And you had some connection, or at least you had some communication at times, with our friend City Manager Martin Bernal, who's, of course, given the edict that was signed by Tony Elliott that these folks all have to be moved, but not really clarified to where they're going to go.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't it?
And what was your feeling, what was the nature of your relationship with Bernal? How did you find him in those days? And was it easy to work with him? How did he sort of size up as a city manager? Would you have anticipated he would do something like this?
Yeah, I'm not surprised given the makeup of the council. You know, it's sort of this... The staff really gauge where the council's at, and I think this council, you know, doesn't give a shit about poor people or homeless people, and they want to just try to sweep them under the rug. I've heard various middle-class people complaining to me, like, have you seen all those people in the park? It's terrible, you know, and so I think there's a... I think it's just the same old stuff, you know. It's really just... trying to maintain appearances and, you know, trying not to upset the middle class people by having them see what extreme poverty is.
Well, I know when you were on the council, that was a period of time during which some pretty repressive legislation was passed concerning the parks. So, for instance, it was made a crime to interfere with a park official. You actually spoke out in favor of such legislation because you felt that the park officials, perhaps similar to your support for the police, at least not as what they're doing today, but not to be held at least culpable in the same way that the city manager, let's say, is to be held culpable. And correct me if I'm wrong on any of this. So during that period of time, of course, it was made... A new crime was created, the stay-away order in the parks, which I think you voted against, actually. And that has been the case ever since. Persons can, if they get any kind of infraction in any of the parks, they're told to stay away first. I think they've extended it to 72 hours if you're within so-and-so feet of a school or children's... I mean,
I don't really feel like this is legal because the past council passed a law saying that you can't close a park unless you have a reason, and then it has to go to the city council. So it has to be for maintenance, and it's supposed to go to the city council. So from talking to Councilmember Brown, it seems like the sort of flimsy legal envelope under which Martine Bernal, city manager, can issue this order has to do with COVID-19, which is extremely ironic because Gail, the county health official, has asked them not to screw with the homeless right now, not to try to move them because it creates more, less safety around COVID-19. So in as much as this is legal, I think it's under COVID-19, which is very ironic because obviously moving people who don't have homes around makes the, you know, will spread the pandemic to some degree, which is why.
About a year and a half ago, when the council was defeating transitional campgrounds and sort of laying the way ultimately for, completely sidelining Christopher Crone and Drew Glover's proposals to deal with homeless issues, both in terms of social services, human rights, because they hoped that they had a majority, at least on that issue, with Justin Cummings and Sandy Brown. But, of course, they didn't, because Cummings had long, I don't want to say long since, but by March or April, it's shown quite clearly that he was more concerned with doing deals with the county and playing nice with the reactionary Cynthia Matthews and Donna Myers, who's now the mayor, of course, than any of that stuff. But they did, as a sort of a sop to the council majority and perhaps to coax Justin Cummings, who was then the kind of swing vote in the council, to stick with them and essentially shut down the Ross camp in spite of the fact that they had no alternate shelter, but they had to pretend that they did. In order to do that, they said, well, if you're going to close any parks, you should let the city council know about it before you do. And I think they said consult with rather than take it to city council for a vote, but there's no indication that they consulted with the city council on this issue. I should say that Martine Bernal and Tony Elliott did that consulting.
I'm Matt Nathanson's here opposing this as well, who's a nurse who, you know, deals with the homeless.
I was about to ask you whether any health officials, of course, Matt is no longer head of the Homeless Persons Health Project. He's been retired for a year and a half. Have you seen any other city employees or officials here today? Have you noticed?
No, I haven't seen any more city officials here. I'm trying to get a hold of, I think there's been some, like, Gail, what's her name, the county health official? Newell has asked the city not to do this. I'm trying to get a hold of something in writing, and I'll share it with the press if I find it.
Yeah, a quote that has been repeated a lot in literature, flyers against this deportation of the homeless, was a conversation that Abby Samuels, ACLU board member and active cop watcher, had with county health official Gail Newell. She asked, can you please let me know why the city is evicting people at the encampment at San Lorenzo against CDC guidelines? It's the cleanest encampment I've seen in Santa Cruz. CDC says dispersing encampments leads to more spreading of COVID. The shelters are all full. Newell replied, according to Abby's email, "Hi, Abby, I agree with you and share your concerns. This was a decision of the city of Santa Cruz, independent of the county for which I work. Public health was not consulted about this. If we had been, we would have advised against this for the very reasons you cite."
Dinners, perhaps?
Well, one would think that in the middle of a pandemic that the city manager and the city council would respect her authority enough, or her knowledge enough, to not do it when that was her advice. But, you know.
And he's talking here about Gail Newell and how she tried to influence Martine Bernal through internal means and so forth. I was sort of sarcastically pointing out that she could have come out and been much more explicit and specific and made a strong public statement herself, but chose not to. And as usual, Micah is defending these city officials and county officials. I think he's just trying to be humanitarian, but when you're humanitarian to cogs in a machine that are a juggernaut to destroy the survival encampments of 200 people, you're doing the wrong thing.
you know, apparently they're more...
They don't, and she's... I guess she has made a sort of a semi-public statement to Abby Samuels that was then reprinted everywhere, and I guess there's been a... There was a response from Bernal on the 24th, who put out, you probably read it, a lengthy, relatively empty, in my view, series of justifications for this.
And I was going to try to read that, but I think mercifully I can't find it right now. But it's if you go to the city's website, you'll probably find it. It's a frequently asked questions, and I think he's claiming that that the homeless don't have to shelter in place really, and that there was just very little of substance in there. It just seemed to be more verbiage and at greater length. But maybe on Sunday I'll pull it up and look at it if it's worth doing at all.
Expanding on the 13 bullet points that he put out in the initial announcement.
And it's related to, his rationale is related to COVID, right? I didn't read it.
It was related to numerous things. The point was, it was the same vague statements that I would criticize you and others at the council for voting in favor of more police measures in the parks without just getting anecdotal evidence.
This is a reference, and Micah didn't get into this, of how he and other council members, you know, Sandy Brown included, don't tend to demand police statistics before they vote unanimously to further restrictions against the homeless. This has been less true in the last year or two, but it's still pretty bad. The staff pretty much gets what it wants without any serious questioning from the city council. And the city manager, of course, even more so, since the council isn't in session, although it could go into session at any time if Mayor Donna Myers, or for that matter, Sandy Brown, who I've suggested can do this on her Facebook page, calls for there to be a city council meeting. At least they have to respond in some way. And she hasn't done this yet. So
a lot of us show up, which I hope people do. And hopefully the press will see it and all that. And then the police will just wait and come back another time. And I'm not really that committed.
Maybe like an hour and a half.
Yeah, I'm not really that committed.
People go off to build their houses and things.
Right. So I'm here sort of symbolically. I'm not really, you know.
You're not really here at all. It's an illusion. I'm talking to you. You're a presence for the moment, but you're kind of like a flicker in an image. You're here and then you're gone.
Right.
Sort of like me, actually.
Oh, I don't think so, man. You've been here for years. You're awesome.
You've been here for years as well.
Yeah, but I haven't been standing up for the ethical treatment of homeless people.
I am the man. There's no question. But aside from that.
You're really inspiring in that way. Thanks.
I'm deeply inspired by myself, but nonetheless, we have been talking with
Micah Posner.
Any other thoughts about around this issue that we haven't covered?
I just, when I talk to people, you know, the middle class people in Santa Cruz, it's true they don't like the idea of homeless people sleeping all over the park. However, they do think the government should be taking care of people and having places for them to go. So the really, I think the part of this that is really unethical and contrary to what the public wants is the idea of kicking people out without having another place for them. Hopefully, a better place that had more amenities, you know, or whatever. So I actually, even though the city council is kind of doing this as a way to have. To sort of please the public in a shallow way, I don't really think the public supports just you know, kicking homeless out without having a place to go, and neither does the Supreme Court, as you know, or the West, you know, the court system doesn't support it either. They've said it's against the Constitution. So I sort of feel like, and this is often my problem with the council and the city manager, I feel like they're doing something shallow for their own public relations, you know, outfit, but. They're not really acting with what people want. People want places for homeless people to be. Like when that initiative happened about housing in the city of Santa Cruz, it passed by over 2/3. And part of it was because people thought that they were willing to spend money to have a place for homeless people to be. So
remind us of what initiative you're talking about.
It was Measure G, I think it was to provide, it was a housing bond.
What year?
It was countywide. It was recent. It was 2018. So it was the Don Lane, Fred Keeley thing. So, but anyways, I just feel like when I talk to all these people, they're like, yeah, we don't want to see them there. It's a bummer, you know, but let's find a place for them to be. So this is really a failure of our society. And I think even, yeah, I just think it's a damn failure. And, you know, it's the homeless that suffer for our collective failure. But I don't think anyone really wants this to happen. It's just that they don't care enough, and they're just kicking the homeless around because it's easier than dealing with the problem.
Well, at least some of us care enough to come down and do the occasional recording, and others to make a brief guest appearance for a few minutes, see if the police will actually show up on time, and then maybe leave and come back later, right. Something like that.
Yeah, like as I said, I just wanted to come down to express, at least to myself, no one else, that, like, you know, it's wrong.
Ticket to heaven, so to speak. Redemption in the eyes of the Lord. Okay, in the view of the Father.
I feel like when I'm so disgusted when I ride by here all the time and see the way homeless people are treated, at least I can feel like, well, you know,
you did. You were there at the beginning, or at least there. In the middle.
At least I'd say.
In spite of my critique, and yeah, again, we've been talking with
Micah Posner.
Merry Christmas, Mr. Brown. Put the angel on your tree. Won't you please accept this gift of Michael's memory from me? Merry Christmas, Mrs. Garner. May your family always cherish every holiday smile and laugh that you ever shared with Eric. Dear Geneva, how I wish you a holiday full of love and joy and cheer, remembering the sweet, sweet times when Sandra was with us here. New Year's Eve, Mr. Martin, when you look up at the sky, see the fireworks that sparkle bright like the light in Trayvon's eye, to the family and the friends who remember Freddie Gray. I hope you know you're not alone when you're kneeling down to pray. Merry Christmas, Tatiana. I said no child should ever have to spend Christmas without their father. Sitting on a train in Paris, where the streets are cold and bare, and I wonder if it's gonna ever feel like Christmas again out here.
And that was Aloe Black from the album Christmas, and the name of the song, Merry Christmas, Mr. Brown, final cut on that EP, which was recorded in Paris on Black Friday 2015, shortly after the terror attacks, playing specific tribute to Michael Brown, Eric Garner, Sandra Bland, Trayvon Martin, Freddie Gray, and their families. And now back to San Lorenzo Park.
Thank you. A proxy for that old grizzly fighter, Phil Posner.
That's right. Proxy for
Phil. Have any message to us from his hideaway in Mar-a-Lago? No, I'm sorry. What is it? Baja?
No, it's not Baja. He lives in some strange village called Tehotepec, where he could get a house for cheap. And
his freedom vacationer, so to speak.
Yeah, I think his message is like, you know, well, can't we do, you know, what are people doing? Can't we do something? You know, he's just continually slightly hopeful and confused by the...
Move some of these fences into place to say, discourage police harassment and help the city retain its clean image, at least its clean conscience.
No, but I'll stand behind him and try to provide a human element.
Yeah, let's start at that corner and move.
So fences are being put up along here to these look like fences are being moved from perhaps the county building area. Thank you, Micah. And they're being put up along the sidewalk. I thought the police were putting up these fences, but I think it's to deter public workers from removing the tents. Tote that fence. And we... Folks are, exactly. And the fences are, should we say, all the way from, I guess, the Hotel Paradox parking lot down to the children's, well, it's not the children's playground. It's, well, I guess it's the fencing of the children's playground. And it's not to contain the ominous and evil homeless encampment, but rather it is to keep the, deter police from, and public workers from, unseemly behavior in the park, i.e. removing a survival camp. And the signs say no eviction, complying with state order, shelter in peace, shelter in place, do not disturb. This is a peaceful protest, is the large banner on a sheet. Go sweep yourself, follow CDC and Dr. Gail Newell, shelter in place, do not disperse. And there are still numerous tents set up on the other side, in the park, of course. So fences have been set up here. Hey, so what are your thoughts about all this? If you have any that you wish to say.
My thoughts are more emotions than thoughts at this point. Sadness. Sadness, basically. I am a neighbor. I live just the other side of ocean. And I just had to represent. That's all.
Were you here a week ago when something similar was happening?
I was not. I should have been. I wasn't.
I'm not criticizing you one way or the other.
That's all right. That's all right.
Are you an old-timer in Santa Cruz?
Oh, yeah.
So you've lived here for a number of years.
I've lived here since the mid-70s. I actually talked with you way back. I remember.
Really?
Oh, we had a discussion about tactics. It's got to be like 1990. I don't know.
Wow. Came to you looking for tax help, or?
What?
You say we talked about taxes?
Tactics.
Oh, tactics. Tactics. I thought, I thought you were a tax attorney hiding there.
No.
Was it an issue where I know this park was the site 30 years ago of a big protest in 4th of July when we attempted to overturn the sleeping ban way back then.
It was definitely connected with the sleeping ban. I forget the details. I was living on Columbia at the time and involved with Santa Cruz Action Network, SCAN.
I remember them anyway.
Yeah, it sort of fizzled out.
I mean, SCAN against the sleeping ban eventually, but they were ignored by the people, the candidates they elected. Two of them didn't. Sugar and Crone did not for a while, but they quickly were pulled into line by Catherine Byers when she return to a more conservative mode on the west side.
Yeah, that's probably a fair summary of the history.
Part of it, anyway.
Part of it. I know. And I still basically support Chris, but...
Do you know any of the people that are doing this? Do you recognize any familiar faces? Any of your neighbors sneaking out to help?
I don't recognize any neighbors, although it's kind of hard to recognize people when we're all dressed up against the cold and the virus.
I recognize your voice, kind of, but I don't recognize...
I understand. I recognize a couple of people, but not. I'm sure there are more people here that I recognize.
Stay in the strife.
I'm sorry, no skateboards in the park.
Oh, okay.
Or dogs.
But on the park.
On the park fence. That's perhaps a little different. And we've been talking with, if you want to say who you are, give yourself a name.
My name's Pete Shanks.
I can't remember who you are, Pete. And thank you for coming.
Oh, I had to.
All right. 5 to 8. And there's only one city truck is parked near here that I've seen so far. And I'm entering the park. The Wizard in Santa Claus outfit. Hey.
Hello.
Just what are you doing here in the park? It's illegal for you two to be here. Why are you here?
That's actually exactly why we're here. Thank you so much for asking.
Well, what's your name and your serial number?
My name is Pussy, and my serial number is 420.
And you, madam?
Am I jaywalking again?
Yes, for
not
sure.
Again.
You're past standing, and that is not permitted in this particular park. Although it is open, but the path is open, but don't go into the side, okay? Please don't interfere with the police officer.
What? That's one of my favorite pastimes.
So are you here to engage in illegal and civil disobedient activity of some kind?
Well, I believe our disobedient activity is very legal considering our amendment right to protest, and that's what this is. This is just a peaceful protest in solidarity with the unhoused community.
Are you a housed or unhoused individual?
I am a unhoused individual. I have been for about a year and a half now.
And how have they treated you as an unhoused individual?
If we're talking in reference to the police officers, very, very poorly. I feel like they have been traumatizing and dehumanizing my community, our community, for a very long time. And it makes me very proud to see the turnout we have here today of housed people on top of it.
Now, are you a resident of the park?
I am. I initially moved out of the park to take some time for self-care. However, I just recently moved back in the midst of this park closure that I'm here to protest.
So were you here last week, or this is your reappearance?
I was here part-time last week because I have a bunch of friends that I've been camping with for the past year or so that I would come and stay with. But now I'm a permanent resident until something changes.
And how do the numbers here compare with last week?
Last week, I think right now what we have at Gate B is about the turnout we had last week. And this week, it seems that has tripled, almost quadrupled. And this is just the beginning. I think more people will be showing up as the day goes.
At least as a symbolic 8 o'clock appearance, to be here for 5 minutes. Then when the police don't show up, they will disappear. And then the police will magically reappear.
Yeah, that's actually happened many times before. So we're actually getting a signal chat open to people here in order to join so that we can organize this camp out. These are all open tents available for protesters to come move into. And
you're pointing to about, looks like, 6 or 7 blue tents that are set up on the area between this path and the children's playground fence off.
Yeah, and as well as these tents all along this metal fencing here.
There's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, maybe 7 tents.
Yes. Yeah, so these are open invite for anybody that's willing to come.
You're providing housing for the skunks, brunks, and trunks that are going to... Why? Why don't you tend them back where they came from?
Because this is where we came from. This is just people trying to survive and live day to day. And I don't think anybody should be treated as any less just for trying to survive.
And I see you are not masking. Does this indicate a certain preference for breathing free?
I was actually just enjoying my coffee and didn't think to put it up over my face.
So you don't mind giving me the evil COVID, eh?
I don't know. I guess that depends on how your attitude escalates. No, I'm just kidding.
Actually, you have now donned a black mask. Does that mean you're some sort of an anarchist dog?
I am an anarchist. However, I am also a human, not a dog. But a bitch sometimes, I will admit.
Are you suggesting that dogs do not have as much rights as human beings? They don't, of course.
They don't, unfortunately. I don't know any dog that owns any land.
Well, dogs, in fact, are slaves universally in this country.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our country knows a lot about slavery.
And well, you've been talking with the little known, but now soon to be heralded.
Pussy. Pussy Pan.
Anything you want to add, Pussy?
I am so grateful for everybody who showed up here today, and I'm so grateful for every person who stops and says hello to a homeless person when they're walking down the street, because it's all a form of solidarity that's so important.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pussy.
Radar Gun from Bottle Rockets. Back to the park.
Welcome to the park. I should say welcome to your park.
I tried to get some people to sign them, but they were not down.
That's okay. No problem. Thank you for trying.
Yep. Here you are.
You want to sign?
Is this for the signal chat?
This is not for the signal chat. This is for... Are you a resident yourself of the park?
No, I'm here in solidarity.
And again, your first visit, or you were here a week ago?
I was here a week ago.
And what's your impression of the difference between now and then?
This is spectacular. Last time it fell apart pretty quickly, but now we got the numbers, and I think that's what we were hoping for today.
You lost your Santa's hat. I want you to put that back on right now.
Very crucial.
Yes, indeed. I mean, that is part of the outfit.
Very nice. Taken out is too small.
Well, it is red and the rest of the outfit is black, but still.
Yes.
Red and black, traditional colors for those on lefty side of the spectrum.
I wouldn't know anything about the left.
Well, we'll teach you everything, and you will repeat after me.
Kropotkin!
He wasn't a lefty?
Anarcho-communist.
Indeed.
Conquest of bread. Mutual aid. A factor in evolution.
Need help getting through here?
We have a man with a shopping cart coming by, and the barricade is going to be lifted for that individual, as well as a local resident. Hey, George. I'm hanging out, you know, trying to get laid as usual. That's.
No, you get in there.
I might. You never can tell.
Keep up what you're doing.
Thank you. Anything else you want to add?
They need to stop sweeping folks, especially during the pandemic. That's all I have to say. Because people need a place to recuperate, to grow, and to rebuild their lives. And if they keep getting swept, all the trauma that's caused by the sweeps, etc., they're never going to be able to rebuild. And that's the bottom line. That's one of the main reasons I'm here.
You're a longtime Santa Cruzan? Or?
I've been in the county about 5-6 years.
You know, sounds like a sensible thing to say, or a sensible thing to do, actually. And again, we've been talking with, if you want to say.
I am light. Mm?
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. So it's now about 8:05. No sign of my friends, the police. Hey. Come in if you wish. You can come through the barricades. So we have a witness on the other side of the fence. I'm now, of course, in the park talking to someone outside the park.
Barbara Lawrence.
And Barbara, what gets you to come this early on a wet, rainy Monday?
I don't know, Robert. It's just, this is my town, and I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed we can't come up with a better solution. So I'm at a loss, disappointment and a loss. So.
Well, you're not the only one.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hearing that at least from at least one other person this morning. And I've only talked to a few people so far.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm an old WILF member, and I'm just bearing witness. That's
for those who don't know, Women's International League for Peace
and Freedom. Exactly, yeah.
You can hear me.
Yeah, I think they can, whatever that is.
I mean, they can hear you. That's
well, thanks for, you know, doing the long haul. You've been an activist on this issue for as long as I can remember.
At least the occasional.
Well, that's okay, because you're notorious. So notorious people have a responsibility for, like you and Keith, you know, that just hang in there.
Now, is Wilt still meeting?
Not virtually, we're meeting. We're not meeting the.
WILP is the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, kind of a lefty group that both men and women were in it, a bit too establishment locally, kind of a Communist Party related to some extent, where we're talking about a very reformist Communist Party that was not terribly revolutionary. But WILF on occasion did support ending the sleeping ban, and it's more kind of on the respectable side of things. In the years I've been doing demonstrations and petitioning and orating and that sort of thing, protesting, I haven't found that being respectable is terribly helpful, at least not for me. Maybe for others it's helpful, but usually, the respectable folks sort of cringe away at crucial moments, and so at least if they want to maintain their respectability, at least I found a lot of that.
Grannies aren't singing in group, and yeah, we're having virtual meetings. Yeah.
Will the grannies be here to sing to the police?
I don't think so. We're all too compromised, you know. We all have health issues. We all have age issues.
And we're talking here about the Raging Grannies, which is a singing group which we played on the air a number of times, or on the net anyway.
So my dentist called me to say he exposed me to...
charming. Now you're exposing
now
me,
I,
you bad boy.
Well, I got some, and I took a test. I've been 10 days, whatever, free.
I still hope that you may be one of the many immunized through the great bird mentality.
Maybe. maybe. I don't know.
I've
weathered a lot of social and health injustice, but it's okay. Thank you for being here. Carry on. What do you do with this when you get done with it?
It'll be going on the Huff archive where you can actually hear it.
Oh, really?
I'll give you my card if you want to hear it later.
Okay. Has that got, like, where you go to hear? Do you have an archive of other?
Oh, yeah, endless. All the way back to the 1980s.
Yeah.
And, in fact, this is now being netcast again. Our equipment is, strangely enough, and unexpectedly working again, although we're still not broadcasting. We need a studio, and we need for a phone line, and we need a place to put up our antenna to do the broadcasting. So if you have any ideas or suggestions, I repeat, give me a call at 423-4833, and I'll pass it on to the Free Radio Collective, and maybe you'll get us back on the air again. There's also a reward for finding a studio space, $300 reward. You've got to find it for a year for us, but if you do, get some money. So that one's been offered for, I guess, a couple of years now with no takers, but it's being offered. We gave it away once before when we found an earlier studio space, but I guess we were younger then, and we're so much older now.
And if you have any questions, just call me on my number.
Okay. Thanks, Robert. Carry on.
All right, you too, Robert.
All right.
And then once their numbers have dwindled, then they come and they take the camp. So the clipboard is somewhere around here in Gate A, and I would really appreciate it if you have the Signal app or if you're willing to download it so that we can all be in communication and keep this going long after today is done. Thank you, guys. Oh, also, if you plan on taking pictures or videos, please do not record anybody grabbing fencing or doing any illegal activities. We do not want to criminalize this movement, so please keep at least faces out of the pictures if you can. Thank you. And if you're around the gate and you see an unhoused person trying to come and move their stuff, please make space for them and help them in any way possible. Like this gentleman. Hi, Daniel.
He picks up the sleeping gear that one parent, possible resident, is moving out of the park into the Dakota Street area.
And people were leaving because this was Monday, the 28th was the deadline, another deadline date, and that was why people are gathering as well on this date and also trying to get in touch by Signal. I'm going to be calling, hoping to have an interview with someone who's down at the park now to see what the current situation is. It's my guess, and I haven't found this out yet, though we'll see, that the risk of the police moving in to remove people and property given an actual restraining order from a federal court is less likely, or I say more, certainly definitely unlikely, but there may still be folks who are spending time in the park at night in order to be in solidarity with folks there and to alert other community members if police suddenly show up to do goodness knows what. That is not of a terribly helpful nature, as unfortunately police usually aren't with respect to homeless folks. So there's also supposed to be a celebration of sorts happening down at San Lorenzo Park today in the afternoon. I don't know if it's going into the evening, into the New Year's Eve festivities. And I've tried to get a hold of some folks to find out what exactly is the status down there, but I have not been able to reach people. The numbers that I normally get some connection with at different points are ringing and ringing, or going to answering machines or something to that effect. So we'll just stick with a little, not ancient history, but recent history, and listen to more of this Monday, which was really the key day, since that was the day that police were in fact turned back by people forming a human chain and also pursuing the police around the park, denouncing their behavior and trying to, in essence, physically interpose themselves between the police and the tents of the people they were either warning, questioning, shaking, and so forth. And then standing them off and at the sidewalk as they stayed in the street with their 13 or more squad station wagons, which were blocking the entire road along Dakota Street. And it was successful, and it was quite impressive. I haven't seen that happen in Santa Cruz quite this way ever, although it may have well happened before. I just may not have been present or not heard about it. I think it was particularly impressive because the police did not come the next day, and that was important because it took that whole day apparently to finish the injunction, which was served on Wednesday. When the police did come, and they did a walkthrough, I guess, of the park, and this delaying action, I think, was effective in creating another delay, which is this delay until the court comes back into session on January 6th, I guess it is. So the next guy I ran into was a reporter for the new, relatively new, online news service, Lookout. I think it's lookout.com or lookout.org, who is either videoing or photographing away, and I chatted with him.
Lookout.co.
Before this, were you doing similar work for other local...
Oh, Sentinel.
You abandoned the Sentinel for Lookout, or it's sort of a day job?
No, I abandoned the Sentinel for Lookout.
Do you think Lookout can do a better job than the Sentinel, or you just have more freedom there?
Absolutely.
And we see our first shot of the black and white station wagon driving by. Perhaps surveying the scene. Maybe they're going to join us. I'm afraid they'll join us perhaps in a different capacity. What are your thoughts?
I have none.
You have no. You're a thoughtless type, or thought-free might be a better way.
None.
But you still know how to verbalize. You shake your head. Thank you. Any thoughts for the former Free Radio?
No thoughts at present.
Any feelings?
Definitely no feelings at present.
Any complaints?
Many.
Anything you wish to vocalize?
No. Thanks, Robert.
Any thoughts you may have? You're maintaining a discreet silence. Thank you. Wish to say anything on this occasion? You look sad. Thank you. So we have, I'm going to start counting the number of people here. We have a man in a raincoat here. Anything you want to say for Free Radio?
Had a moment, thank you.
All right, how you doing?
A little beat, tired.
You look tired.
Yeah.
Have you had some of the, I don't know if it's coffee or water over there?
No, not yet.
Yeah, well, good morning to you.
Thank you.
All right, man. Mind if I ask you questions of a probing nature?
Yeah, hello.
Your name again?
My name is Nick Moosney, and I'm with a group called Change 831, as well as with Wes White here at Salinas, Monterey County Home Senior.
And you came over today with Wes White, who's sticking his nose into part with his questionable video machine and his website and so forth.
Yeah, that's what it's about. You know, we can't, you know, continue to let cops harass, you know, our in-house folks here, the residents here in San Lorenzo and anywhere. So we're just here to document, to make sure that we let the city and the police department know that we won't stand for this, that people have a right to be here and a right to stay shelter in place during this pandemic and, you know, at any time. So, yeah, that's why we're here.
And how many came over with you today?
So I rolled by myself, but, you know, Wes, you know, we all kind of coordinated to come and meet here. Also, you know, organized with Simply of Service, so we had a couple folks there. So four folks in general, and we have one more person here who is on their way, so about five of us. Mm-hmm.
And so the number again is?
Five.
Uh-huh,
yeah.
So it's not the 30 or 40 that I had earlier been misinformed. It looks like there's a gathering of people in uniforms on the sidewalk over there. Apparently beginning to cluster, as somehow termites may cluster in a building they wish to eat. I don't know how they can get any sustenance from this bunch of tents and so forth. So, looks like there are a number of people here already. I'll again try to count them. 1 voice cries out. Domestic terrorism is apparently the watchword of the police as they're moving toward the other entrance. So there are 4 entrances, and they're all walking towards another one. Again, I haven't had time to start counting people, but I'm counting, estimating 10, 20, 30, 40.
Do you need some people to go turn over to the other side of the playground, please? Right past this light pole with the cameras on it. Not all of us, but if some of you guys could please distribute over there so that we have numbers on all entrances.
And I'm going to hit the sidewalk and see if I can follow the police that way.
I just got out of jail last night.
So, huh? What do you think of all this?
About what?
Protest.
Oh, it's amazing, dude, that if somebody feels the same way that we do about, you know, human rights and stuff. I honestly don't know too much what this is about. What is this about, actually?
This is for... about the park being, all these tents being moved by the police.
Oh, hell no, I don't think that's cool at all, dude, because there's, you know, we have no place to go and stuff, and this place is awesome, bro, because, you know, it's like a little community, and, you know, we don't got to worry about.
Shame on you! These are human!
The police cars are lazy.
We're not doing anything. It's so peaceful here, dude. I walk here at nighttime, it's like walking here during the day with freaking kids and stuff, dude. It's so peaceful here, dude. No, I never seen anything violent happen here at all. And everybody, dude, they have some place to sleep and, you know, some place to live, and I think that's nice.
Have you ever used the park yourself?
Yeah, I've slept here before and stuff. I personally just sleep wherever I could, but if I had a tent and stuff, I would definitely live here, you know?
Now, you said you just got out of jail. What was the charge, if you want to say?
Oh, I was drinking in public. I just sobered up and then let me go.
Were you drinking in public and making an ass of yourself?
No, I just drinking a tall can at the corner and the cop arrested me, you know? Yeah. I asked if you can let me go. He said, no, he said, take me to station and wait till I sober up. I'm like, dude, I'm not even drunk. And you just wanted me, he just wanted to take me to jail.
And which did you be taken to the station or taken to the jail?
The Santa Cruz jail.
Were you held in solitary or in a group cell?
We're just regular with everybody coming in and out.
Was everybody masked or were people without masks?
They had masks. They had masks.
What about the people in the cells?
They had masks. Yeah, they gave you masks before you came in.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, you know.
How many people were in the cell with you?
Not too many, maybe like 3 or 4 at the most.
And did they get any idea of what they were there for?
I have no idea. One dude, same thing, drinking, and then another dude, I have no idea.
And have you noticed you've been arrested by police before?
Some other times, pretty much for the same thing. You know?
By the Santa Cruz police?
I'm originally from Los Angeles, so I got arrested a couple times for drinking in public too. But I'm 31, so this is my whole life, you know.
Thank you.
And yeah.
So how would you compare how the police treated you in this situation here with your other experiences?
Pretty much the same.
Yeah. Good. So.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, sometimes they let you go. Sometimes they don't. They give you cut your break, but I think they're all the same, you know. But.
Yeah, yeah. And we've been talking with. If you want to say who you are.
Oh, my name is Joshua Rios.
Thank you, Joshua. I'm Robert.
Nice to meet you, Robert. Sorry if I asked him. I'm kind of like, you know, a little nervous and stuff, but I feel like I'm on TV and stuff, you know?
Well, this is we aren't exactly TV, but we're, you know, teeny tiny.
It's a homeless group. Yeah, we're kind of a netcast group.
Oh, that's cool.
When we cast and we archive. Right now we're archiving. So.
Okay, all right, that's nice.
So again, it's Josh.
Josh, yep. Josh.
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah, no problem, guys.
All right.
God bless you.
Pausing now for a little music, and then we'll go back to the park where police were beginning to appear, and soon the police will be in the park and confronting the people who are there.
they kicking down my mama's door. Now tell me, what is this motherfucking drama for? Can a nigga get rest at the rest without the stress? Then they put the Glock to my chest. Back, think before I switch or I'll pop off to the clink with this bitch-ass cap. They got a nigga locked like the dread on my head, Jack. And if I try to fight back, well, then I'm dead black. I got the right to an attorney in the state silent. They got the right to try to burn me if I play violent. I know the game, so I just roll with the procedure. A legal search and seizure, something that they doing at their leisure. Down at the station, and segregation is taking place. Overcrowded jails, but for me to make a space. Tell the devil to his face, he can suck my dick. It's the whole black race that they fucking with. Come to find my crime was letting brothers know the time on the devil and stopping them from eating swine. And plus my prior record sealed my fate. One for all and in God we trust. Got me sent upstate, but still I won't bite my tongue. I just write tight shit to incite the young to fight the one who keeps them on the level that's minimal. And that's the number one. Niggas be swole up, locked down cause of a hole up. The devil made me do it, what I say. Got some bad news on my one phone call the other day. I love the kids and I teach them to love their father. I'll get you some kicks and try to send some flicks, but it's over. Baby, yes, it's over. Ain't much you can do when you're holding the phone. A million inmates, but you're still alone. You're not crying, but inside you're dying. You might cry in the night when you're safe and out of sight. Damn, I miss my beeps and the rides and the deeps and my casual freedom. Where's my crew when I need them? A visit ain't the same like being in the game, but I'll take it. At least with that, I'll make it. The beast is the bitch and I see it. I do the knowledge to him, so next time I can do him. Yo, X, I got the lock in now, but write me real soon. I know that you're a busy man. Give me a minute. You can never know the key now if you've been locked the fuck up in it.
17, lock it up!
So that was Brand Nubian claiming I'm a criminal from his album Everything Is Everything. And we'll see how things are back at San Lorenzo now. So sometime between 8 and 9, I left on Monday for a while, drove around briefly, then found that the area on the way back was blocked by a squad car. So I parked across the street at Trader Joe's, across the river, actually, and walked across the footbridge, and then joined essentially you'll hear what I joined.
Someone with a megaphone. And appear to be about, looks like the city crews are removing the fences at the Dakota Street entrance, and there's a human barricade there. How long has this been happening there?
Say what?
How long have they been removing fences?
10, 15 minutes maybe?
I did see the police cars blocking off the street at both ends, or at least at that end. Well, I better go over and interview some of the public workers. Or whatever.
Yeah, that's that person there. There she needs a drug test.
Indeed. Dig it. And in the street we have a number of police cars blocking the road. And numerous police officials. Some police, and over here, closer to the Paradox Hotel, we have police are entering the park. Go home, guys. Do something with your time. Don't harass the people here. Thank you.
We're going to need to collect that information for a signal chat, if that's okay.
Call me. And police are in the park. They're going from police, trying to bully people into leaving. Shaking tents.
Do not displace.
Stop harassing people's property.
Do not displace.
There's a police canine unit guy. Ignore them. You have a right to be in place. And over here we see two more police officers. Say who you are, guys.
Second rule.
Show us your badge numbers. Show us your names. Ask these armed thugs to leave and go do their job somewhere else. Creating a crime wave here. We have individuals harassing people in their tents. Maybe we should call the police. So this is the so-called warning that's being given. With no public notice, no public debate.
And that water is the sound of the duck pond.
And people are sort of at a loss as to what to do, the support people. Document the officers! Stay with them!
And several groups of activists were following around officers with video. Officers are going from tent to tent, shaking the tent gently. They weren't tearing it open or anything. Sticking their heads in some tents, looking around as though they had a perfect right to do what they were doing. I guess which they feel they do.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Thank you.
Every time a tent is harassed, get the names of the officers doing the harassing. You have a right to shelter in place. The community's health demands it. These cops are helping to spread COVID. Thank you, officers. Document the officers. Get their names and numbers. Picture them as they harass the people.
Take it, please. Anybody inside?
Officers snooping inside tents. Oh, they're very politely moving to harass people and move them into nowhere. That's the plan. But see how courteous and how politely they do it. And of course, the Sentinel is making a nice record of everything.
Genocidal tactics. This is what you guys are doing. This place.
Come on, Sentinel, report the retruth this time. Jessica York.
Where's the
Get the report from Gail Newell, Jessica York. Why isn't that in the Sentinel? Jessica York, get honest.
Cops pressing the Dutch on footbridge, following four police officers.
Get the badge numbers and names of the cops doing the harassing. Hold them accountable.
Those are the same cops on the truck my arm the other day.
Hey, Blue. Hey, man. So this seems to be the preliminary warning, perhaps. To be followed by... Hey there. Nice hat.
Thank you.
So, looks like the police are clogging up traffic. Move those damn cars.
So they just walk through and warn everybody. And then they're going to come back in a few hours after we've gone.
And I suspect that's what they're going to do. Have they said that?
That's what they did last week, apparently.
Right.
But they moved them. Everybody had to move to this side. Mm-hmm. So maybe now everybody can move back.
Hey, musical draft.
I don't know. What the hell are they thinking? What are they doing? What's the point? You're going to push people out into the streets. What the hell?
They'll fence them off and they'll try to intimidate people into believing they'll picket them.
But look, we did get a good show.
Cops out of the park!
Yeah, we need somebody to follow these guys.
Oh, do it.
Come on, guys. Go do something worthwhile with your time. These people have no place to go.
Brent has arrived with a wagons on wheels to help people move their stuff. Along with an assistant who also has a small wagon. And there are people blockading the police from crossing the footbridge.
Hey, just shove on through!
And at this point, there was... on the duck upon stage, which springs off of the footbridge, in the middle of the footbridge. There was a guy with several tents who was there. The police were trying to reach him. He'd been barricaded off. The police went up to remove the barricades, and people flooded onto the foot on this little footbridge. It must have been, oh, I don't know, 20 or 30 or more people forming a crowd, trying in essence to prevent police from harassing this guy and taking his tent or doing whatever it was that they were doing in terms of frightening him into leaving. And the guy eventually came out of his tent, and he talked a little bit to me. He was without a mask, but most of the rest of us were masked up. But we were very closely packed in this group in the footbridge. The officers were masked themselves, and they were not being brutal to people, but the very presence was a form of brutality and threat, and that is what we are concerned about. And that's why we were that's why I was shouting anyway.
They shouldn't be shoving through. Yeah. They're trying to get rid of the people who live here. Yeah, they're trying to get rid of you. That's the plan.
Where am I supposed to go?
Well, they don't have a place for you.
I gotta go crash at their house.
That would be an idea. I like it. And barricades up. Cops are approaching the duck pond stage, passing the barricades that have been put up on the bridge here. Do you want me to sneeze for you? Says the man on the duck pond stage for the tent.
And there's a lot of chaos
here. Get out of here, you guys! Come on!
It's hard to hear. But the general force of this, in essence, to really essentially cut short the police visit, it appeared to be. They did speak to the guy briefly. The guy who was in the tent on the Duck Pond Bridge, which is what they were trying to do.
He's putting the barricades back. What did the cops tell you?
They just told me to go. Some shit is killing everybody.
Sorry, I should have not realized you were
going to be smart. Did they give you a deadline, or is it just fucking around?
No, just fucking around.
Sorry.
You got it, ma'am. Got it.
Did he give you a place to go if he said you had to leave?
Nope.
What did you tell him?
Told him I'm feeling sick and he'd go fuck himself.
And the point here is that this guy, in essence, was, I don't know if he was using it as a weapon or just honestly informing the police officer that he was feeling ill. And then, you know, maybe the implication was that he had COVID and that the police should back off because it wouldn't be healthy for them to be near him. Or maybe it was a bluff.
People are clustering around the police, denouncing them. Others are videoing and taking photos. Slipping through, slipping on through. Coming through. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And we have about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. About nine cops here. Maybe more, maybe less. And the... Why don't we all sit down and have some coffee together? Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Luckily, there's a bench nearby. How are you doing today, sir? What do you think?
I don't know. Just asking. I want to ask.
I think you do know. It's quite obvious. That's officer. What's your name, officer? How do you spell it? Officer Kerr, K-I-R, and I just had a little brief exchange. So we are kind of surrounding this group of police who are simply standing here. And one wonders what's happening elsewhere in the park. So again, counting the police.
Robert Norris.
That's me.
Hi, it's James.
Hey. Very photogenic, these police. Now, only they were doing something useful. Wouldn't that be nice?
If they don't think that COVID's a serious issue, why are they wearing masks?
No, you guys should just keep fucking
no, I mean...
That's a serious issue. That's why they're moving people. It makes no sense.
And the cry is, quit your job.
And the police are under fire. They're marching. We have about 50 to 75 people who are trailing around after them. And the ducks continue possibly floating.
So I'm skipping around a bit, but as you can hear, this is largely inaudible because of the combination of distortion, loud crowd noise, voices speaking over each other, and so forth. And but what eventually happened here was we ended up a crowd of about 50 to 75 people standing on the edge of the park, the police retreating to the sidewalk, and then standing there with squad cars up and down blocking Dakota Street, not just cordoning it off, but actually occupying it like a parking lot. And there was a lengthy exchange, we're going to play a little of it, between the police, but the police didn't say anything, they just stood there stolidly, and the people who were on the edge of the park.
We are all one community. Why are you against us? Why do you think that constantly relocating camps is going to actually help the problem of homelessness? You think that's going to help? What do you guys think you're doing here? You're breaking CDC statewide guidelines right now. What about Martin's Law? Where are all these people supposed to go? There are 2 beds available. Yeah, we've been checking. We've been calling. That's what you guys said last time. Well, now we are. Yeah, we've been checking, we've been calling. 2 beds available right now for all these people you're displacing in the midst of a pandemic.
Where the fuck is your compassion?
You guys feel okay about what you're doing here? You feel proud of yourself? Your families are going to see the videos of this. How are they going to feel about what you're doing to the most vulnerable parts of our community?
Your children are going to be embarrassed and ashamed of you when they grow up.
I'm embarrassed and ashamed of you.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, yeah.
You can't even give us
that. But you don't see us as human, do you?
You are a public
service. You don't see us as human, so it's okay.
Fascist. Servant.
That's right.
They're servants to the elite. They don't give a fuck
about us.
Yeah. Where's Martine Burnett?
That's why the people come together against you guys.
Yeah, the whole world is protesting you. Have you guys seen?
Where's Andy Mills?
The whole world is protesting.
Why isn't he here?
Defund the police, reallocate funding to mental health professionals.
That's me.
Especially Officer Ross. He gets a little pushy sometimes.
Yeah. I've been working with
captivity training, huh?
Yeah, I've been working with your victims for 20 years.
Don't wait, Ross. You already know he's crazy. He always acts up.
I worked on the men's march of a mental hospital, so I got your number.
I'm glad you think this is a laughing matter, what you guys are doing here.
It's funny, huh? Yeah? You think it's funny?
I'm sure all the people who are going to see these videos online are going to think this is really hilarious, too, about what you guys are standing up for.
This is what sociopaths do. They feel no guilt.
People die because you guys do this. People have died because they don't have somewhere to stay. Do you guys know this?
Because you're broken inside.
Yeah. Your hearts are two sizes too small.
They're trained on dissociation techniques so that they don't have to actually feel what they're doing to their own community.
Exactly. That's perfect. They don't want you to with two high IQs either.
You go.
There's an IQ limit.
No wonder only pigs can become cops.
They don't want smart people because you're easy to control.
Come back with a simple plan. Come back with a simple plan.
Why don't you
where do they go?
Yeah, where do we go? We'll go to those underparks 2 weeks later. We'll get displaced again. This isn't a solution. This is a perpetuation of the problem. Can you guys hear me? Hello? Is this thing on? You're perpetuating the problem of homelessness by constantly relocating and harassing them. Are you aware? Or are you dissociating from what you do?
Yeah, they disassociate emotionally.
You have a choice.
Quit your job.
You have a choice. You always have a choice.
Quit your job. Quit your job. Quit your job. Quit your job. Quit your job.
We have about six police officers who are sort of standing silently. And another six in the back conferring as to what to do next in the street.
Yeah, we don't, you know what? We don't want no police. We just don't want these police.
Well, since we have these police, has anybody got any complaints against any particular officers here?
Officer Ross.
Officer Ross.
I think you should file charges against Officer Ross. He assaulted you.
Now, what did the officer do? Let's go officer by officer. Since they're here, let's find out what they did in each particular occasion. Anybody have any complaints about any of these particular officers?
I have a complaint about Warren here and his lack of communication and acknowledgement of what he's been doing this whole time. He's done nothing but look me in the eyes and dissociate from what he's doing. I think you need to be held accountable for what you facilitate on a day-to-day basis, and I think you need to acknowledge that it's wrong. All these people have gathered here today to communicate to you that it's fucking wrong what you're doing.
Any other complaints against individual officers here?
Resources.
Yeah, Officer Bailey.
What about Officer Bailey?
He's way too rough with people.
Helping us. Yeah. He's good at helping us. Yeah. But instead he puts them into persecuting
West.
How do you think that's
West.
Yeah, I got to look over my
shoulder. West, the parking Nazi.
So you tell us we can go to other parks, but I've been displaced from every other park here in Santa Cruz.
There's no park.
So in 2 weeks, you're going to displace us again and perpetuate the problem instead of actually finding any sort of real solutions. Which is what we are gathering here today to do, to organize, to build community, to actually find solutions to the problem that you guys are here to perpetuate.
Why don't you help us get to know the real neighborhood?
Yeah, why don't you guys actually sit down and talk with some homeless people instead of constantly harassing and dehumanizing them?
Why don't you give us a place we can go?
Yeah, let's get a council together.
Yeah, how about something more than just two available beds? To all the people you're displacing.
How are we supposed to fit 150 plus people in two beds?
We'll stock people up. I don't think we can get more than 50 a bed.
I think City Hall is empty. I think the police station is empty.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, technically, City Hall property is county property, so I don't believe this is in any of these guys' jurisdictions, so we can just move people over there and perpetuate this problem just like you guys do. But obviously, that's going to continue happening until we find solutions.
Yeah, we're standing up for you.
You hate?
We have options for solutions. We're coming together as a community to find solutions for the problem that you guys are facilitating. You hear me? The community is coming together to find solutions against the problems that you guys are perpetuating.
80% of what you do have to do out of
get a real job.
Yeah, well, you're not qualified to be dealing with mentally ill people.
Yeah, why don't you actually assist the homeless community that you love to harass so much?
Right, because none of them are qualified. They've only had a high school education and a few weeks of training. So they wouldn't be fit to be dog catchers in a civilized country.
Talk to Martine Bernal, you all. I know that they'll listen to you. Talk to the city manager. Talk to the city council. Let them know that this is not working.
And go back to school.
And let them know that this is not working, and your perspective is important because you guys see this day in and day out.
Notice the courageous voices are those of women, one after another.
Tell them your perspective. They want to hear it. It's important.
They only have
it's important. It's the city and the city parks and recs. Go talk to them.
85 or 90, maybe. Yeah, they hire you guys because you're not very smart. They want people to follow directions.
No, who's not down here right now. Why do you guys have to do the grassroots?
You can't do your job, and they need to have a different plan set up for you guys.
Why does Martine Bernal have to act like a puppet master and you guys come down here and do the actual
moving? Well, there's no black people in the town, so you pick on us instead. 1.8% black people. So they pick on the weakest and the helpless because they're a cult of bullies. You're bullies. You're an authoritarian.
They have an option that they can go talk to the city manager. Tell the city manager you can't do your job, right. And he needs to have a different plan.
Yeah.
Because the people here and the people of the city won't let you move.
We have people here escaping abusive home-like situations.
Yep.
We have people here with severe mental illness.
Yep.
We have people here struggling with substance abuse. We have the full spectrum of your community here. And you put this wall up saying, oh, this is us and that's them. We are all one community. Anybody is just a step away from being homeless. And that's why all these people have gathered here today in solidarity, because we all know people that are homeless. If you guys really want to perpetuate these problems that you are and constantly relocating the homeless, maybe you should take some time to actually meet some homeless people. You can meet me if you'd like. My name is Tan. That's my street name. Nice to meet you. I'm here to escape an abusive home situation with a lot of substance abuse, and you know, this homeless community out here has welcomed me with open arms and shown me that I can surround myself with safe people who actually want to protect me, because I didn't grow up in a place where I felt safe and protected. So this is my safe haven, this is my family, and I'm here to defend them, because they've done nothing but protect me and take good care of me. And you know what? They protected me and took good care of me because of the trauma that you guys inflicted on our community, that you do every few weeks to a month. It's traumatizing, it's dehumanizing, and this is the most vulnerable parts of our community.
Yeah.
We are coming together to show solidarity with the homeless community because we're all so close to being there. In the state of the pandemic, amidst the fires, right, and this fucked economy, we're here to stand in solidarity against what you guys are doing because it's wrong.
And will you guys, when we defund you, you might be out here with us. You might want to consider that.
Here, here.
And you know what? Keith from Food Not Bombs will feed you. I wouldn't, but he will.
I'm sure he'll have a lot of nice things to say to you guys when he's serving you guys food when you need it.
Yeah.
We treat each other with more kindness than I think you guys treat each other, and that really says something.
Oh, that part.
Well, 40% of them self-report domestic violence.
This is my family. This is my community. The people in these tents have taken good care of me. They are human beings. What you guys do is dehumanize them. You treat them like they're less than you because you have a gun and a badge. I hold them in higher regard because they don't take time out of their lives to perpetuate really fucked up shit problems like you guys are. Do you think relocating the homeless is a solution? If so, why are you guys facilitating it?
And one last musical break before we hear a bit more, but most of the rest of this I'm going to be playing on Sunday, so come back then.
Cross this bloody ridge. says on these streets, Charles, you've got to understand the rules. If an officer stops you, promise me you'll always be polite, and that you'll never ever run away, and promise mama you'll keep your hands inside. Well, is it a gun? Is it a knife? Is it a wallet? This is your life.
And that song was American Skin, also 41 Shots by Bruce Springsteen. The song was, according to the notes, inspired by the police shooting and killing of 23-year-old Ghanaian immigrant Amadou Diallo, an unarmed man who didn't know he was risking his life just for pulling out his wallet on February 4th, 1999. Four NYPD, New York police officers fired a total of 41 shots, 19 of which struck Diallo outside his own apartment at 1157 Wheeler Avenue in Soundview section of the Bronx. And lest you think that that 21-year-old incident, and I don't know if any police officers were eventually convicted in that case, but here's a story from Tuesday's San Jose Mercury News from Ohio, AP, by Farnoosh Amiri. Ohio police officer fired in fatal shooting of black man is the headline. A white Ohio police officer was fired Monday after body cam footage showed him fatally shooting 47-year-old Andre Hill, a black man who was holding a cell phone and refusing to administer first aid for several minutes. Columbia Columbus police officer Adam Coy was fired hours after a hearing was held to determine his employment. Columbia Public Safety Director Ned Petras Jr. said in a statement, "The actions of Adam Coy do not live up to the oath of a Columbus police officer or the standards we and our community demand of our officers," the statement read. "The shooting of Andre Hill is a tragedy for all who loved him, in addition to the community and our division of police." Coy remains under criminal investigation for last week's shooting. Notes under investigation, but apparently not under arrest. Or at least that's not mentioned. The decision came after Pettis concluded a hearing, that's the police chief, to determine whether the actions taken by Coy in the moments before and after the fatal shooting of Hill on December 22nd were justified. The public safety director upheld the recommendation of police chief Thomas Quinlan, I guess he was the public safety director, was Coy, who made a video statement Christmas Eve saying he had seen enough to recommend Coy be terminated. Quinlan expedited the investigation and bypassed procedure to file two departmental charges alleging critical misconduct against Coy in the death of Hill. "This is what accountability looks like. The evidence provided solid rationale for termination," Quinlan said after Coy's termination Monday. "Mr. Coy will now have to answer to the state investigators for the death of Andre Hill." Mm-hmm. Okay. Members of the local Fraternal Order of Police attended the hearing on behalf of Coy, who was not in attendance, according to a statement from Pettis's office. "Officer Coy was given an opportunity to come today and participate," Brian Steele, vice president of the police union, told reporters Monday. "He elected not to participate. I do not know why. I would have liked to have him here, but it's his decision." Coy and another officer responded to a neighbor's non-emergency call after 1 a.m. December 22nd about a car in front of his house in the city's northwest side that had been left running, then shut off, then turned back on, according to a copy of the call released December 23rd. Mayor Andrew Ginther said it remains unclear if that car had anything to do with Hill. Police body cam footage showed Hill emerging from a garage and holding up a cell phone in his left hand seconds before he was fatally shot by Coy. There is no audio because the officer hadn't activated his body camera. An automatic look-back feature captured the shooting without audio. And that's Ohio police officer fired in fatal shooting of a black man a week ago. Fired, but not charged. So that's it for this edition of Bathrop Spears Broadsides. If you want to read more of my thoughts on this stuff around San Lorenzo Park, some of it may be a little dated now, and indeed now we have a kind of a new chapter we're getting into. But don't forget the fact that, well, you can go to the Santa Cruz Indie Media website. That's indiebay.org/Santa Cruz, or just browse for Santa Cruz Indie Media, I-N-D-Y-M-E-D-I-A, Indie Media. You can also, once you get there, just check on the right side of the screen. You'll see numerous stories about this. John Malkin has a long interview with between Hannah, a resident of San Lorenzo Park, and Abby Samuels, a Copwatch activist and Board of Director ACLU member. So check that out. And if you want to hear more about San Lorenzo Park doings and more interviews from that area and more from me going on about it, come on back on Sunday at 9:30 or check your archives on the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, and you'll be able to follow this further. New Year's Eve is coming up. Often I hit the streets on New Year's Eve, though less and less frequently as the years go on. But I don't know whether it's weariness of doing this broadcast, the threat of COVID because of vulnerability, or some